Amen. Thank you, Peter. Good morning, church. Woo. It is a good day. I don't know if any you noticed it was raining yesterday. And I caught myself maybe like Peter grumbling and was reminded in all things give. Wow, that changed everything. Tell you what, church, when we start to thank God, even though we don't see what's going on, when we start to thank God, it changes our hearts and our lives. Now, today is an exciting day. It's a bit of a vision day. In these next 3 weeks specifically, we're going to be casting some vision and talking about what's coming up this year. We've got a lot to get through, and so I'm going to jump right in. First of all, we're talking about these core ideas that we are about as a church. And so we're in a mini-series called We the Church. We the church. Now, we've talked about this before. We will talk about it again. There are four things that I believe many of the other things come within that we are called to do as a church. And they are serving, connecting, inviting, and being generous. Today, specifically, we're going to jump into being connected. And we're going to get there in a moment. But first, I want to affirm what happened last week. See, I finished 2 weeks ago preaching on Mark 5 and was getting ready for the next week. And it was like God tapped my heart and he said, hey, that word that Jesus spoke to Jairus, that is a word specifically for you, Crossroads, and the church beyond. But really, this year, it's for you. Now, remember, Jairus was a synagogue leader. He heard about Jesus. His daughter is sick. Something's going wrong. He goes up to Jesus. Jesus starts to go with him. And while they're en route, his daughter actually dies. And people say to him, just leave it. Forget. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Jesus overhears what they are saying. And he says, hey, don't be afraid. Just believe. And if you weren't here last week, you missed out because three of our men shared what that actually meant. It was Guy and Dan and, like Peter said, himself. And we heard these real life stories of how God spoke into the midst of difficult situations and provided. In some cases, miraculously. Now, here's a reality for us, church, is that fear is this primal base emotion, and sometimes it comes out in different ways. Sometimes it comes out as anxiety. Sometimes it comes out as reluctance. Sometimes it comes out in us withdrawing. But I believe that God is calling us to be a fearless people. He is calling us to not be afraid. It's spoken at least concretely 70 times and referenced or inferred hundreds of times throughout Scripture. Don't be afraid. And so it's essential, church, it's essential that we grab onto that truth. Do you agree? All right. So here's the thing. When you move out into the day and you hear something that startles you, that unsettles you, and you have just the beginning of fear, remember what Jesus said. Don't be afraid. When God speaks to you in the midst of these next moments, because here's the thing, regardless of what I say, we're based on God's Scripture. God speaks through His Scripture. When you hear something and you go, oh, I don't know, hear God say, don't be afraid. Okay? There's the first thing. Sean, do you think you could pull the monitors out of the system? I think that might be part of what's given the extra piece here. All right, now, don't be afraid. Here's the second piece. that I'm really excited about. We were doing this last year, hosting the student lunch program. Now, where we were hosting it for was with a school that is it's all the alternative school in the community. What a gift and privilege it was for us to be invited into that school in this ministry led by Ray and Ivy Rempel. Thank you, Ray and Ivy. You're amazing. You're a gift to us. And what they would do is they would gather a team together and they would meet every Tuesday. They would meet in CMC in the basement and they would make these amazing, delicious lunches. Now, I made sure that I would try to be there because they needed an official taste tester for these lunches. And without fail, they were phenomenal. Now, I have to confess, Ivy and Ray, that there were a few times where the hot dog lunches were left and you had already gone and I taste tested a hot dog. So I apologize. And I think that's Carolyn. If they were out of lunch, that's my fault. I owe them a lunch. Just being honest, right? Honesty is the best policy. All right, here we go. Excited about what we've been doing. What a privilege, what an honor for us as a church who love Jesus to be able to put that love into practical means and serve the community and serve lunch. Now, what's really exciting is that another school reached out to us. An elementary school reached out to us and said, hey, would you consider being part of and making a sandwich? Some of our kids come to school and they don't actually have full lunches. They're sleepy in class because they're not getting the nutrition that they need. Is that surprising? Man, Jesus called us to get involved in those places, right? As soon as that came across our desk, we said, yes, absolutely. Now, what we've done is we've doubled that ministry in a sense. We've doubled that ministry. And what that means is we need more people jumping in and getting involved with that ministry. Okay? So Ivy and Ray are overseeing that. If you have any questions, if you want to get involved, please talk to Ray and Ivy. It's still Tuesday that we're doing it, right, Ivy? Okay, so if you have a heart to be obedient to Jesus, if you have a heart to get involved hands-on and to make lunches, that's one thing to do. If you go, man, I love that idea, I love that ministry, but I can't make Tuesdays work, but I love to bake, wow, you're perfect because we need baking as well. And you can bake ahead and we can put it in the freezer. It's this beautiful ministry. Everybody tracking with me? Isn't that exciting? Let me try again. Deep breath, deep breath. Here we go. Isn't that exciting? Hey, that was a little better. That was a little better. Okay. I'm just going to take a drink. Church, for about 6.5 years, almost 7 years, since we arrived, we've been talking about the need for us as a church to get involved together in a global ministry. Jesus was really clear when he called and told his disciples, hey, you're going to be my ambassadors here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Right? That's in Acts 1:8. Here's why I'm so excited, okay? Because it's almost as if that we've been obedient in pressing into the local mission element, right? Obedient in serving the community with the schools. We've got this next layer that is coming. Church, we have agreed to join in a partnership with Impact Ministries, and we are sending a team to Guatemala. Whoa. Isn't that exciting? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Okay, here we go. This has been a 7-year process. I'm going to invite you to express a little bit this morning. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Seriously, you're thinking, oh, I don't want to say anything out loud. Isn't it exciting that we're sending a team to Guatemala? All right. There we go. Yeah. There's a little amen there. I love it. Okay, now, Here's what's happening. February, we are sending, it's almost like an advance team. This is the initial team that is going to go and represent Crossroads. Now, we're still determining and pulling the pieces together for who's going to be on that team. And as soon as we know, we will let you know. But we are so thrilled about this opportunity. We're so thrilled because Impact Ministry has a heart like ours, and that is to serve the community that they're in, to be active in living out what Jesus called us to live. Now, what we absolutely, essentially need from you is your support. We need, when we're talking about I'm here, for you to cheer us on. We need you to be praying for us. Just like we need you praying in our local, we need you praying in our global. And now, the last thing is we are going to begin some fundraising initiatives because it's going to cost a bit of money to get our people down to Guatemala. The first way that we're doing that is we are going to be fundraising with coffee. Anybody drink coffee in here? A few people. There was some celebration for coffee. If you drink coffee, we want you to buy your coffee from us because you're going to be spending the money anyways. You might as well get good coffee and support this team that's going to Guatemala. Now, right now, we have a number of Central American country blends. We're still seeking out a Guatemala blend. We don't have it yet, but it's in process. The details for that are back in the foyer. We want you to grab a sheet because not only can you buy coffee, but you can take a sheet and you can actually get your friends to buy coffee. Hey, why are you buying coffee? Our church is doing this amazing thing. We're supporting these communities in Guatemala. Of course I want to buy coffee. Your church is doing that. That's amazing. Guess what just happened there? You shared about the active love of God with your friends. That's one of the key things as a church. That's part of the invite that's going to come up in the next few weeks. All right, so there's two exciting, exciting pieces. This local mission that we're continuing in and the global mission down to Guatemala that we're taking a step into. Join us. Pray with us. We, the church, are called to be connected. We, the church, are called to be connected. And what I want to suggest to you, church, is that growth comes when we go together. Growth comes when we go together. So we're moving into number three here, and that is spending a bit of time around this idea of connection. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. If you don't have it, we'll have it on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, we want to get you one. Just let us know. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As I was praying about how do we communicate and talk about the need to be together, I had about 10 different passages that came to mind. Because we've been in Acts 2 before, well, we've seen this example of the church before, and if you've been coming to church for any amount of time, you've probably heard this preached before. And so I go, well, let's put that aside, let's go to another. And God kept steering me back and steering me back and steering back. This is the best example for us to follow. This is the best example, I believe, for us to follow. And before we jump into the details of it, we need to understand a little bit of the context. So Jesus has lived his earthly ministry life. He went to the cross. He bore all of our sins to him. But because he was perfect, death could not hold him. It's important that we get that, we understand that death had no hold on him, because when you or I go about life and we make wrong decisions, sometimes it's a one-off, sometimes it's habitually, Jesus faced similar circumstances, but he continually made the right choice. Well, of course he did. He was God. Absolutely, he was God. But he put the power that he had access to as Jesus, the Son of God, and submitted himself to life as a human being. Read Philippians 2. Jesus functioned in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the same fullness that you and I have access to. Now, death couldn't hold him because he was perfect, and he rose again. And in this time after he rose again, he appeared, he moved around, he revealed that he was alive, and he gave direction to the people that were around him. And in Acts 1, right around verse 8, he's telling the disciples, he's telling the people who are there, the 100-some-odd people who are there, he's saying, hey, this is what you're going to do, but I want you to wait here. I want you to wait here until the gift that I've spoken about comes to you. And the gift that he was speaking about was the gift that he lived with and functioned with in his ministry. That was the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts 2, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit arrives. People see flames of tongues. People see speaking in tongues. People who are from all these foreign nations all of a sudden hear these disciples speaking their native language. And it says in Acts that after that, Peter stands up with the 11 around him and all of a sudden speaks these words and goes on to lay out exactly who Jesus, about how Jesus was spoken about how the Jews were the ones that put him on the cross. And everybody sitting there, it says their hearts were laid bare. They were cut to the quick. All of a sudden, they realized what they had done, what they had participated in. They realized that they were trapped in their ways. And see, in that moment, they overcame their fear. They overcame the fear of having to change. They overcame the fear of looking foolish as they asked what they needed to do. And they said, what can we do? Show us. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, and then you'll get the fullness of God just like the rest of us. And that day, it says about 3,000 people joined their number. That's a bit of a growth. That's a significant growth. This is the context for the Acts 42 passage that comes. See, the people had this understanding, this experience, this view of the manifest presence of God before they devoted them to the teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. John Stott puts it this way: there can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no Christ-likeness of character apart from His fruit, and no effective witness without His power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. Graphic, but so true. And this is the context, this is the framework for what then those who are choosing to follow Jesus did. This is what it meant for them to get connected. This is what it meant for them to actually live in community. Now, the first thing it says is they devoted themselves, and then it explains what it was that they devoted. Now, let me ask you this question, and I don't want you to speak it out loud. This is just for your inside voice. You can share it later. But what is it that you are devoted to? How do you know what you're devoted to? Look in your schedule. How else do you know what you're devoted to? Consider what it is that you long to do if you had nothing in your schedule. Here's a third way to know what you're devoted to. Consider what, no matter what's in your schedule, you make sure happens. Now, I've just given you three ways to consider, to analyze, to figure out what it is that you're devoted to. But what these new disciples were devoted to themselves was to the apostles' teaching. That is, the teaching of Jesus. They were devoted to being together. They were devoted to living life together and to journeying and to seeing God move in and among them. As we were walking around and praying before church this morning, there was a word, and what I mean by a word is that God placed something on somebody's heart that they shared with the group. And the word was this, that God looked at us walking around and anticipated all of us coming together, and he said, "This is so good. I love that you are coming to gather together." The thing is this, that if you would put me in the first place of all of your life, the floodgates would open. Now, that person who shared it had no idea what I was speaking about, had no idea that the first point that I wanted to, that God laid on my heart to drive home was that of devotion. It was something that the Holy Spirit laid out for us there and for all of us as a church. Church, if we would put God in the one place, if he would be the one thing of our devotion, if we went after him with all of our hearts, everything else would come in line. Not just for your individual benefit, that is true, that would happen, but for the glory of his kingdom. What's really interesting here is this devotion comes in two different places, is actually played out in two different places. It's played out in their homes, and it's played out in the corporate gathering of the church. It's played out in their homes, it's played out in the corporate gathering of their church. Now, it's funny because I'll often have conversations with people who say, "I love Jesus. I just don't like the church. I don't like the politics in it. I've been hurt by the church," and all of those things are have a degree of truth to them, right? I believe that God looks at churches when we have politics in them, and he goes, "I don't like that. Man, that doesn't look like heaven. You're supposed to look like, that doesn't look like heaven." Right? But here's the thing. God is still calling us to gather together in a corporate sense, as well as to gather together in a smaller sense. Now, I can hear the fear in some of us right now. I don't really want to get more connected than I am. Sneaking into church and then sneaking out when the last song is playing or ministry time is comfortable to me. I'm good there. Hey, listen. You are so loved, whatever you choose. You are so loved by God. There's nothing that takes that love away. You are so loved by us. We're not sitting here condemning you. I'm not sitting here condemning you. I'm sitting here saying, hey, there is a way for us to live fuller, better lives. And guess what? There are some times where it's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be awkward. It might even hurt a little bit. But Jesus said, hey, in this world, he didn't say, in this world, it's going to be golden, smooth sailing, just choose me and everything's great. He said what? In this world, you will have trouble. Hey, you're going to have some troubles, but here's the thing. When you do it with me, you join, it's overcome, it's covered, it's done, I've got you. So here's the first thing is devotion. Devotion played out by them actually getting connected together, actually living life in community. Don't be afraid. Community isn't going to hurt you. In the long term, there may be little bits and bites, but community will be a gift and build you up. The second is this, the teaching. They devoted themselves to teaching. What was the teaching? The teaching was everything that Jesus had taught the disciples. It was everything that Jesus had shown the disciples. It was all the ways that Jesus had displayed and said, this is how you do kingdom life. Watch me, watch me. Right? That's how Jesus did it. Come along with me. This is what you do. And then that teaching was passed on. Now, there's two things that I want us to be aware of. The first is that I believe it is so essential for us as a community. And by community, I'm saying Crossroads Community Church. If you're saying, I'm part of Crossroads, this is my church, this is my home, awesome. We're so glad. And we want you with us as we press ahead. What are we pressing ahead to? We are pressing ahead to the fullness of God. We are pressing ahead to be obedient, understanding that that fullness also translates into mission. Now, here's the thing. There are so many gifted teachers out there. Hundreds of thousands. And in this day, they are so accessible. And hear me out. I want you to be listening to those gifted teachers. Because God will speak. He will teach you. He will correct you. He will guide you. He'll give you discernment to hear when something is off. Awesome. Go for that teaching. But here, as a church, as a community, I believe it's so important that we have and are following a thread as we move together for the sake of unity, for the sake of being mobilized, for the sake of being able to go ahead together. So that's the first idea, is that we need this thread that goes throughout. And that's going to make more sense at the end when I explain how we want everybody to get involved in community groups. But we need a thread of continuity. The second is this, is let's take, there's an expert, his name is Malcolm Knowles. Anybody heard of Malcolm Knowles? He talks about adult, he's an expert in the area of adult education. There's a couple of things that are absolutely essential for us as adults to be aware of as we learn, right? As adults need to understand why it's important. Why should they be learning this? Adults need to have the freedom to learn in their own way, in flexibility. Adults need a space where learning can be experiential. And adults need a process where it can be positive and encouraging. Guess what? All of those things are going to be semi-challenging for you to experience if you only come on a Sunday. If you only come on a Sunday and you listen to a monologue, because this is more of a monologue, maybe it's a little bit of a dialogue when I invite you to speak out or share something with your neighbor, but you're going to be limited. And in fact, what's going to happen is you're going to leave here, maybe retain one small idea, and then tomorrow it'll be lost and you'll be into the rest of your week. And guess what? The thread is cut off. Jesus said, in order for you to come to me, in order for you to engage, you have to repent. The word for repent means change your mind. How do we change our mind? We learn, we're taught. We make space for God to speak into our lives. And the repentance that Jesus was talking about wasn't just a one-time repentance. It was an ongoing repentance, an ongoing looking to Jesus, an ongoing changing of our mind. That is going to be challenging. Beautiful, beautiful church, if we're only engaging and listening to a little bit on a Sunday. Which is why for this first church, it wasn't just in the broader corporate church. It was the broad, and then it was the small. The third is they devoted themselves to fellowship. The word for fellowship is koinonia. There's your Greek word for the day. Say it with me on three. One, two, three. Koinonia. That's a good rhythm, good cadence. That was actually very soothing, very soft, the way that everybody said that. Give me a little life as we say it, because we want to be about community. Here we go. Koinonia on three. One, two, three. A little better? Come on. If you spend any time with my wife, Jody, she'll refer, and you talk about community, she'll refer back to her days at the University of Alberta, where for the first time she actually came in face-to-face with a community. And it was called Koinonia. And in this community, they would do exactly what it's talking about here. They would meet together, they would eat together, they would pray together, they would serve together. I'm not going to elaborate on all that right now. She's the better one to tell that story, and I would love for you to go and talk to her and hear about it, because that was the start of a change in her. See, they were devoted to one another, and we see that, or we read that as we hear about their generosity, don't we? People had all these things, and what they did is they brought them all together, they pooled them together, and everybody walked away with their needs met. Now just take a deep breath. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We're not starting the commune next week yet. Just kidding. Just kidding. Generous community, koinonia, gathering together. Okay? So we've got devotion, we've got teaching, we've got fellowship, we've got the breaking of bread. Now scholars debate this. Some say, well, it was just they would gather and they would eat together. Some say it started as gathering around a meal and then it became actually the Lord's Supper. And I say absolutely, both make sense. See, we know that as we gather together and we eat together, we get to watch one another eat. We get to observe different habits. We get to talk. We get to reflect. We get to share. That just happens most of the time naturally during a meal. Would you agree with that? Most of us? See, it goes to a next level when we share the Lord's Supper, because we come together and we remember Jesus' body broken for us. We remember all those things that we talked about at the start, that he lived that perfect life, that he laid down his life for us. He, and not only in just a light way, but in the most painful way possible. We remember that his blood was shed for us, that his blood is the new covenant, that we participate in the new covenant as we drink, as we eat together. And we remember that the new covenant is really, it's that tearing of the veil. It's that ability for us to access, to enter in to the fullness of who God is and what God has made available for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So just for us to remember, we've got devotion, we've got teaching, we've got fellowship, we've got breaking of bread, and we've got prayer. See, prayer is so essential for us, and for most of us, it seems to be that we live in rhythms where we'll all of a sudden grab onto the importance of praying, and then we'll forget and we'll disappear. Sometimes it's an urgency or a crisis or a need that drives us to come to God on our knees. Sometimes it's this deep longing that we know that we want it, and then all of a sudden our direction, our devotion maybe turns to something else. And that's what happens when we live as individuals. We're at the mercy of whatever we are experiencing as an individual or as a family unit. See, what happens when you step into community and you keep prayer as a focus is that prayer carries. And you live into it, and you experience it, and you learn about it. And there's times when it is rich, and there's times when it seems like God is distant, but you're still seeking together. That's what prayer is. There's a church in Manitoba in the small town of Steinbach. Anybody been to Steinbach before? A few? A few of us? A few? A few more? I had never been, but I had the privilege of going last week. Now, this church is a church who hosts renewal seminars and conferences. And you might be going, well, Steinbach, isn't that a small community? Why, yes, it is. It is a community of about 10,000 people. Well, how is this small community of about 10,000 people hosting renewal conferences? They have thousands, not just 500 or 1,000, but somewhere between. I couldn't get it clear. I've heard six. I've seen their sanctuary that must seat somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 people because they do four services, two on Saturday night, two on Sunday. This small community of 10,000 people has thousands of people coming to their church. That's why they're hosting renewal conferences. Now, Brian Dirksen, one of the assistant district superintendents at the Alliance, has been sending teams, and he's tried to get a team from us to go, but it just hasn't worked yet. And I had the opportunity to be there, so I popped in. And here is the thing that stood out the most. I listened to them. They gave me some brochures. They told me a little bit about their beginning, which was when the pastor, it's his son who's the lead pastor now, but when Ray came initially, it was a church similar to our size. And what happened was there was some sifting and some back and forth, and eventually there was a turn. And the way this one guy said it to me, and it's, you know what, I'm looking at the time right now, it might have been exactly 7 days ago to the hour. Right in this moment, he said this. He said, the church stopped being a church that prays, and they became a church of prayer. Do you see the difference? See, the church stopped being a church that prays. So we are a church who prays. We definitely pray. We've had seasons where we've had a core prayer group on Wednesdays. But there was something that he said when he said they became a church of prayer. See, because that statement actually drove home this idea of devotion. See, it drove home the idea of when God becomes the one thing, that everything else comes after. When God becomes the one thing, everything starts to go. See, Crossroads, we need to become a church of prayer. And see, I believe as these things come together, everything else begins to open up. We start to step into the fullness. We start to begin operating the way that Jesus sent his disciples, both the 12 and the 72, to go out, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse leprosy, to drive out demons, to go living and serving and meeting the needs of everybody around us. And every single one of those things that I just mentioned have equal importance and value. But the only way we begin to step into and to understand how to operate in those is as we become a church of prayer. A church where God is the one thing that drives us. I was sitting the other day with my daughter, Zipporah, and she was sitting on my knee, and we were having this fun interaction and dialogue, and she was saying, "Daddy, do you love me 20 times?" She's five, she's little. And as I said, "Zippy, I love you 21 times." He said, "Daddy, do you love me 28 times? I love you 29 times. Daddy, do you love me more than Ruby?" Ruby's our dog. "I love you more than Ruby. I love you 1,000. Do you love me more than God?" "Ah, Zippy, I don't love you more than God. I love God first." And then I said this. I said, "But you know what? When I love God first, he shows me how to love you the very, very best." And she went, "I know." See, church, our devotion has to go after God. And we can walk away from something like this and go, "Okay, I hear what Joel's saying. I understand what the Bible says. I don't have time for groups. I'm just gonna figure this out better on my own." Man, I pray it goes different for you than for everybody else, because everybody else that does that, it doesn't quite have the follow and carry out. There's a reason that God designed us this way. We grow, church, as we go together. Now, here are the action steps. This is the part that's crucial, okay? What I want to invite us into as a church. And here's my dream beyond dreams, is that 100% of the people who crawl Crossroads home will be connected into a community group. That's my dream. I'm going to put it out there. Now you're going, "Well, love the idea. Let's try it next year when I don't have so much on the go." Okay. Our love for you isn't going to change, right? There's no condemnation in this, but there is invitation to fullness and growth. There is invitation to fullness and growth. Okay, community groups. What do these look like? Community groups are a group that's going to be made of somewhere between 8 and 12 to 14 people. As soon as we start pressing beyond that, we're going to be looking at multiplying those groups. What are these groups going to do? These groups are going to do a lot of the key things that we just talked about right now. Well, I love the idea of a group, but I can't lead a group, and I know that we're out of leaders. Hey, that's okay. Here's one of the beautiful things about these groups, is there are a few people that are getting together to collaborate and work to pull together a curriculum that is going to take what we talk about on Sunday and put it into an experiential application for all these groups. There's going to be a video that's made that has a number of questions that you go through, that you play and pause as a group, that just walks you. Well, what happens if you're in a group that's already established and you've got a rhythm? Great. You can filter and edit that. The one thing that we want to invite everybody to do is keep that thread. We are Crossroads Community Church. God has given us an identity, and He said, it's great. Go get it. We want to go get it together, but we have to be together to go and get it. Does that make sense? We want to get it together, but we have to be together in order to go and get it. We, the church, are connected. So, action steps. You've got a few options here. The first is you can join a group. We have a number of groups which are ready, a number of groups who are ready to go, who have leaders. We are still short a few leaders if we're looking to get everybody here who calls Crossroads home into groups. So if you are interested in being a leader, that would be option two, or a host. If you go, I can't lead or teach, but I can host, great, because we've got space for that as well. Are you excited? Oh man, I'm excited. Man, I'm excited. I can't tell you how excited I am. I believe that God has got us set on this path to fullness, this path to experiencing Him, this path to seeing Him move in our community. Can I invite the ministry teams forward? And then I'm going to pray. And let me just invite you to stand here as I pray. Lord, what an honor it is What a gift and a privilege it is to be adopted as full heirs into Your family. I think so often we forget what that means, what the significance of it is. Lord, You've invited us, You've called us Your kids. You've given us gifts, you've given us abilities, you've given us capacity, and you've called us to live and go it together. And so, Jesus, we ask that You would speak so clearly, that You would guide our steps right now. We ask that we would hear this idea of being fearless, and we would respond with courage, that we would be willing to be vulnerable, that we would be willing to seek You, to be devoted to You. And so I just have this sense that I need to pray for somebody who's been hurt by the church, who's carrying hurt. And so if that's you, I just want you to put your hand up where you are, and I'm going to pray for you. And the rest of us can keep our heads bowed, but just put your hand up. And so right now, Lord, we come before you and we pray healing for hearts. For hearts who have been hurt by the church. We speak this out loud. We know that that is not your will. And we know that your will is fullness, is hope. And so you, Lord, you are a God who restores. And so into those memories, into those experiences, we command the enemy to silence. We make space for you, Jesus. For you, Jesus, to meet. For you to show that you were there caring, that you want more. And so we commit this healing to you, Lord. And I just commit us as a church. I commit us as a church to boldness, to go the way that Jesus commissioned his disciples, to live in that place of fullness and mission. In Jesus' name, amen. So church, have an amazing, amazing week. There's a couple things here on your way out. If you are already signed up as a group leader, could you please make your way to the back and see Gerald, who is going to be taking some photos of us. If you are interested in joining a group, make your way into the back and we'll have some sign-up availability there. I believe it's going to be iPads. It might not be. Just look for it. Make sure you do that. Take that action step. If you're interested in hosting a group, let Kelly know so that we can get coordinated on that. And make sure you come to CMC for a sweet barbecue. Bless you, church. Have an amazing week. If you had your hand up, I really want to strongly encourage you to make your way up to the prayer team. We want to pray for you. Everything is held in confidence. If something else is going on for you that you need prayer for, please make your way up as well. Bless you, church. Have an amazing week.